Romans 6, the new man, that you're dead to sin and what? Alive to God. Jesus said we can have our glory now. Now, if you go to Romans 7, there's some controversy about that and so forth. But if you read Craig Keener, which has got the IVP Bible background commentary, he talks about it was sort of a writing style. Because in verse 5, he says, when we were in the flesh. And then he goes into present tense. But most commentators that have gone through it, they're familiar with the Mideast writings. That's a diatribe style, and it's written in present tense. He's talking about his past life. Because in the 8th chapter, he mentions the Godhead over 75 times. And then he says, if you live in the flesh, you must what? Well, then, didn't you say he was living in the flesh? Well, what? See, it doesn't make any sense. Romans 6 and 8 are the bookends to 7, and 7 is his past history. That's a writing style. But I mean, I can't tell you the number of conferences I've been. Well, you're just a Romans 7. I mean, I used to think that. You may think that. But the Bible says, no, you're a Hagi, you're a holy one. Walk in that faith. This is probably a good time to say that story. The woman caught in adultery. I don't know if any of you have seen the Gospel of John video that they did a couple years ago. Oh, it's magnificent. It's probably the best representation. It's just so, it's word for word through the entire Gospel of John and the God's Word translations. But in there, they have this altercation with the Pharisees. The woman is set up. The man isn't there. You know, they set her up. They're always setting women up. Yeah, I'm sorry, ladies. It's a setup. They get this gal, bring her up here. And you know the story. I don't condemn you. The older guys go away first. The dirty old men, you know, they leave first. And the young bucks, you know, they leave second. But Jesus says something very interesting that we sort of stop the story there. I don't condemn you. And then he says, go and what? He didn't say, honey, you're really good looking. Men are probably hitting on you all the time. You've probably got some kind of a sexual addiction. Or what you probably need is a 12-step group. And it's probably going to take you 5, 10 years, maybe 20 years to work this out, because you've got to go into your inner self, you know, and you've got to go all the way back to your background, and you've got to, I mean, that's what, right? Doesn't say any of that. His expectation is, go and never do it again. Now, lest you think that's a straight comment, you go to John 5 or 6 or whatever, Jesus heals this man, you know. And they get separated, and he finds him in the temple, and the guy comes up to him, and he says, behold, you've been made well. Don't sin anymore so that nothing worse will happen to you. Is Jesus being unreasonable? Are his commandments burdensome? See, I used to believe all this stuff. I mean, that's why it stirred me. And I kept reading the word and I thought, yeah, something's wrong here. It doesn't compute. So that's a second heresy where they say we're just all sinners. You have to keep crucifying. Your old man is dead. It's gone. Walk in that faith. Believe it. When I started doing that, my life changed. I called on the Holy Spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, show me when that temptation comes up. He promised us, right? First Corinthians 10. No temptation known to man that he won't provide a way of escape. So it's locked tight. So when we stand in front of God, we have no excuses. Oh, you know, we're just all... No excuses, assuming that we were not taught the truth. But I submit to you that this is the truth, the Word of God, and I would encourage you to check it out for yourself. Don't take my word for it, but be a Berean and ask the Lord and see if those are things. Okay, heresy number 3. It's still under the New Age. God is positive, nice, and friendly. He's quiet. He's gentle. I read this in American Jesus. He said, instead of Jonathan Edwards, famous, you know, sinners in the hands of an angry God, actually we're sinners in the hands of a friendly God. God's love is always unconditional. I'm going to get in trouble for this. I always do. We'll get to that. And so now it goes from negative, working really hard. It's really strange how this works. You know, before we're dying to self, and now we're saying, hey, it's okay because it's always unconditional, so you don't have to work so hard. So actually, if we believe this, we're really schizophrenic. Should we work hard or not work hard? Are we okay or are we not okay? And we're confused. I was confused. Maybe you're not confused. I was confused going through these things. So essentially, what it is Jesus is the sweet Savior. He's precious. There's an element to that. But if If all the kings of the world walked in here right now, the kings of the world, you know, if George Bush came in here and Saddam Hussein, well, maybe not for him, but Tony Blair and people came in, we would probably all rise, wouldn't we? I mean, just in honor and deference to them, we would rise up. What if Jesus walked in here? What would we do? They would all, including us, we would be on our face in front of him, because that's a uniform report of Scripture. He is the King of kings. So there's a side of him that's altogether different and not just this one-dimensional, send your friend a card and everything's okay. That's who he is. He's multifaceted. How do these things work its way out? People say, well, things are only positive. Yes, Paul said, I have unceasing grief in my heart. You see how this, there's lamentation. There's more psalms, I think there's 60-some psalms, that by title are lamentations to God and to each other. That means tough times. It's not all positive. Of course, it ends with praise that God will work it out eventually, either here or on this other side of the sod. You also hear of things like there's just rest in Jesus. What that means is you put your feet up on the desk. That's rest for our soul. But Jesus said to strive to enter into the narrow gate. It's a war. It's a wrestling. Paul said we flesh and the spirit wrestle with each other because they're at war with each other. So it's rest for our soul, but our bodies are actively engaged. Are you still with me? You're really quiet. You're okay? Okay. All right. Now, here's a big one. This is a big one. I stumbled on this, I don't know, 5 years ago, whatever. And you'll hear it on the plenary session. You hear it all the time. We just need to share Jesus. We just need to we share Jesus like sort of like a Snickers bar, you know. And yet, and I could be wrong on this. I don't think so, but I could be wrong. There is not one instance in the New Testament, and I think maybe going where you share anything of a spoken nature, it's proclaim, solemnly testify, preach. If you read Paul's parting words to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, you'll see, I solemnly testify, I'm innocent. It's the sobriety of the speech that comes through rather than, hey, give me a high five. Everything's okay, let's just share Jesus because he's our bud. So you will hear that, and again, I would urge you to check it out. Don't take but I would encourage you not to share Jesus. I did a newsletter like that one time. I said, "Don't share Jesus." Oh, gee, boy. But proclaim his name. Colossians 1, at the end of that great chapter, that first chapter where we get walk worthy, Paul says, "I've not ceased to pray for you that you be filled with all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Isn't that great? We can be filled with all spiritual wisdom and understanding that we may walk in a manner worthy. That's holy. So that we can please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Is that encouraging? We can please God in all respects. At the end of that chapter, he says, we proclaim Jesus, admonishing, shaping the will with warning, and teaching every man to present them complete, teleos, perfect, perfectly mature in Christ. So check it out and see. Every once in a while I catch myself saying it still. But it is the predominant way that people describe their speaking with each other. They share. You can share your belongings. You can share your life. You can share your money. Please do, and share it liberally. But when you're speaking with somebody, it's the spoken word of God, hopefully, through our hearts, the very oracles of God, precious and holy and sacred. It's a high calling.